everyone. We are going to get started. Let's see who's getting coached today. If you want to go ahead and raise your hand, it would be awesome. And then let me figure out who's getting coached. I'm dressed in my casual wear today. I am headed to the airport. Well, I'm headed to go get Logan as soon as this is over. Then I'll be headed to the airport. Christy, you're up first. Get you going. And then, guys, just so you know, when you come online, make sure that you look to your lower left. There should be a place for you to turn on your audio. Should say, like, join with audio, bottom left.
Got it.
All right. What are we coaching on?
Awesome. Well, I feel like this month's overeating course, like, I feel like you maybe took, like, a nap inside my brain, really. I read the workbook, and I was talking to the girls in my accountability group, and I was like, oh, my God, she's crawled inside my brain to write this course. So
I try.
It's really, really good. Like, and that's coming from someone who spent a copious amount of money on binge eating therapy that semi-resolved the issue, but didn't really deal with the weight loss piece of it. And so I told my husband, I was like, I wish I'd found Corinne like 3 years ago.
Like, I'm the best deal on the internet. I swear to God, all of y'all that have been to therapy and stuff, just come to the tribe.
Seriously, like, you have no idea. Like, it's pretty crazy. But so I had signed up for more coaching on, like, not identifying as a binge eater, but I feel like I'm really doing well in that area. I haven't had a binge in about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
I've had some overeats, but I'm doing recovery worksheets. I've just committed. I'm going to do one every time, no matter what. So I really wanted to get coaching on the patterns I'm discovering through that.
Oh, that's a good idea. All right.
So, because I went back and it's like common denominator. Like, it's the same stuff that drives my overeats every time.
It always is. Like, if every person would be as diligent as you are about looking for it, you will find your patterns. There's always something that's like doing it. So what have you found?
Well, what I'm finding is it's really primarily the feeling is stress. I'm not eating anymore. Like, one thing that therapy did help me with was some of the mental work. Like, I don't spend a lot of energy feeling like crap about myself. Like, I just don't. When I started therapy, I was like, I don't want to leave the house. Everybody's going to see me and think about all the weight I've gained, because I had lost a ton of weight years ago and kept it off for like 5 freaking years. Then when I got married, I just didn't develop the new coping skills that I needed. And that's where I find that the struggle is. It's primarily stress driven through work. I work from home, so I'm an independent contractor in sales for a promo products company. Business is like double. It's bananas. It's really good. It's a great problem to have, but I'm trying to scale my life to make that work.
Okay.
So there's a lot, probably more work than I have hours to do at this point. So I've hired.
Really though, like, think about that statement you just said. There's more work than there's hours to do.
That's probably not true. you're right.
There's hours and there's work, and you will do the work with the hours you have. Because here's the thing. If you, let's say you do all this work and there's no more hours left in the day, then you obviously did all the work you prioritized as the most important ones.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of us, we fall into that. That's what the stress drives from, because it's like, there's too much work to do. I mean, when you say there's more work and there is hours in the day, it's like, what if you were just like every single day, I'm very strategic, really good at prioritizing what has to get done. And if it's not done today, it's not because there's too much work. It's because it didn't cut the mustard today.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm struggling, truthfully. Time management is a lot of what we do is responsive. So even though I'm working at home and I have a lot of flexibility, there's a high demand and there's a lot of stuff that just pops up through the day that kind of interrupts my plan. So I struggle with the time management piece of it. So there's some stress there. And I think it just comes down to, like you said, I've got to just decide what's really important and get it done. Right now, I'm having to work sometimes till like 11 o'clock at night to keep up, But that's not every day and that's not every night. But it's like, if it's got to happen today, I've just got to stay up and get it done. Also have a 4-year-old who is super smart, wonderful little kid, pretty high strung. And so his behavior can be really challenging. And then my husband, we've been married for 7 years, but he has struggles with clinical depression and anxiety. Okay. And so it's interesting, when I started PNP, he decided all on his own, after walking by and listening to you talk, to get some help for himself. Good. So he's since started counseling and has got involved with a men's group at church. But there's a lot of tension and conflict at home sometimes because of him dealing with his stuff. And then my son acting out. And then me, I'm stress eating in response to that.
So when all of that's happening, what are you thinking? Like when your husband is like dealing with his stuff and your son is being a 4-year-old?
Yeah. I think the thing I find, I'm resenting some, like there's a little bit of, I hate to admit it, but it's like self-pity. Like, why do I got to be the one who got to have a husband who can't get his crap together? Or why's my kid got to be the crazy kid, you know? And so there's some of that. And listening to you has helped me a lot to recognize, and I can see that that's BS. I know it is. But like, I'm struggling to find a new, like, how do I reframe the way I'm thinking about it? Because I start getting, like, my gut reaction is more anger most of the time.
And why, like, are you angry because you're resentful?
I think so. I think there's a feeling like I'm stuck with this. Like, I'm not going to get rid of my husband and my kid.
Well, that's where you need to look. Like, that is going to be, when you talk about you feel stress because your ultimate thought is, I'm stuck with this. Rather than like your thought being, this is my life.
Yeah.
This is for me to react to. This is for me to manage. This is for me to do these things. You're acting as if you're stuck. And it's like, you're not stuck.
Yeah.
You choose to be married to this man.
Yeah.
And when you think you're stuck, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's really good.
Otherwise, you'd leave his ass. Be like, yeah. Oh, stuck. Bye. Deal with your depression.
Yeah.
Same thing with your kid. Like, you're not, most of us aren't going to just like dump our kid. But when we think about being stuck with a high strung 4-year-old or stuck with whatever's going on there, you know, sometimes we just have to remember, this is the stage of life we're in.
Yeah.
And sitting around thinking I'm stuck in it is never going to help me.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I would challenge you to work more on when you feel stressed, not trying to come up with a shiny thought. I would much rather you get good at dealing with your internal pressure, like noticing what you're thinking in the moment.
Yeah.
Telling yourself, the reason why I feel this way is because of the way I'm thinking. It is this, because what most of you want to do when it comes to like stressing. So tell me how to solve my stress. Give me my new model, because what I want to do is I want to feel good.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, I can give you 1,000,001 amazing thoughts. Like, you know, so fortunate to have a 4-year-old who, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, we can have all of those. But the problem is in the moment, it's not going to help, because you're seeking to feel good.
Yeah.
And that's why you're going to food rather than seeking to feel compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Tolerant of this emotion right now, to feel patient that this is the stage of life we're in.
Yeah.
This is what's going on in my life, rather than this is happening to me, I'm stuck in it.
That's really good. And I think too, like, that made me think, what I'm in the moment, I think my next thought is like this sense of almost like I don't feel like it's okay for me to be not happy in that moment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have some guilt, like, that I don't always love mothering.
I think that's when you start getting to the point where you allow yourself the like, these are the things I'm talking about, blah, blah, or thinking about, when you allow that, then you're able to drop to the next level, which is what you're uncovering. It's like, probably what's driving you wanting to eat is because, like, well, I feel really stressed, but if I sit here and think about it, what I'm really feeling is resentment. I don't want this kid right now. I'd like to not be married to someone who's depressed. Like, those are the thoughts, but reminding yourself, that's just things we think when the world feels hard. Our brain's job is to try to escape from all of that stuff. And it's going to escape from, like, wishing for something different or wanting food or whatever. That's all that's really happening. I was just talking to someone earlier and I was like, if I could, like, give all of you a gift, it would never be a new model that's shiny, happy, and new. It would always be the gift of understanding that everything you feel, if you can just drop into, the only reason why I'm feeling this level of anger or this level of resentment or this level of, like, deprivation, whatever your feeling is, it's because there's some sentence running around in my brain right now. That's really all it is. That's why I feel, because if you truly dial into everything I teach, stuff happens in the world. You think something about it. You feel something. That is the way it works. Think and feel, think and feel. And that's all we're doing all day long, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can just move out of, I can't tolerate this feeling, I have to get away from it, I need to eat or whatever, that's where the justifications and the excuses, those sentences are the ones that are basically, what they mean is, what we're feeling right now, we can't handle. So let's go eat. Let's go do this. Yeah. And it's like, no, what if you can just feel like, be like, it is normal to not like your kid a lot, especially when they're four and they're acting like a jackass. I can tell you, like, between Logan, like, when Logan was about, he had the most cherub face in the whole wide world. And everybody's like, oh, your child's so sweet. He'd go home, he would throw these raging fits. I'd have to hold him down on the floor. He'd bite. I mean, he was just like this, like, Tasmanian devil at home. And he was that way until, like, 10. And there was a lot. Yes. And a lot of times I was like, you know, I love him. I don't want him right now, but I love him.
That's it too. And I think that makes so much sense. Like, it makes me feel better too, to hear you talk. You were talking about letting go of your, like, guilt about not always loving being a mom, you know, and the aspect of it. And I was like, light bulb, that's it. Like, I feel like there's some part of me that thinks I'm supposed to love it all the time. And that's just not true.
No, we're not supposed to. It's just like all of life. It's like, we're not supposed to just every time we look at ourselves be like, oh, fuck, you look amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I always think, like, my brain is supposed to be judgmental. If it's not being judgmental, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Because our brain's job is to judge the world so that we don't get run over in this. Like, if we didn't judge traffic, then we would just drive like a bat out of hell to get to wherever we wanted to at all times and, you know, probably get killed the next day.
Yeah.
Our brain's job is to always be looking for what's wrong in the world. Our job as the owner of the brain is to realize that 99% of the time, it's finding fault where it doesn't need to. Mm. And it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. That's
I love you guys. I love this tribe. I love my business. I've always said it's my second child. It is like the little girl I never had. And I love it as much as I love Logan. And there are plenty of times where I am like, you are being an asshole. I'm going to the tribe. Right now, mommy's going over here, you know. It's like, you know, it's fine. I don't, like, what I try to do is always look for the moments in my life that I am increasing my own, like, you're probably stressed most of the time because you don't want to just accept, this is the balance of life that I have right now.
Mm.
And there are going to be times I can change my model and I can feel good about it and I can do these things. And there's also going to be times where I have to just be like, yeah, this is one of those days that I do stay up late. It's not that there's not enough time. I'm choosing to stay up because I'm prioritizing this work. Or there are going to be days where some stuff's not going to get done. And it's not because there's not enough time. It's because, you know, I'm just done working.
Yeah. I just got to get my butt in bed some days, you know, which is what today, that's my plan. I'm like, I have like 14 things left that are on the list, and they're just not all going to get done. And the world won't end between today and tomorrow if they don't get done.
This is when, so this is so good, because like when you get your mindset into you control your schedule, you control your time and whatnot, then you can go and do all the planners and make all the lists and use them super effectively.
Yeah.
Because you're willing to follow it. You're willing to prioritize and stuff. You no longer find everything overwhelming and has to be done now. Or yeah. Like, you know how like when you're really stressed, you're, here's the way the day works. The next minute's coming and there's going to be something that gets done in that minute. Yeah. But our brain thinks about all the minutes until 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to get all this done? 1 minute at a time. That's literally how it always works. But we convince ourselves that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So like that is why I do a lot of planning. Like I plan a chunk and I'm like, say, all right, this time block is assigned for this. And when my brain wants to go and do other things, I'm like, no, this is what's assigned here. And then sometimes there are fires. Just like yesterday, the site went down.
Yeah.
Some other server, wanting us. Like, so we had to work on things. And it was either freak out, flip my wig, and like call and cuss Chris and do all these things. Or it was like, okay, this project stops. Let's get the site back up. And then we just roll right back into what we were doing. Like when you keep a calm that like emergencies and little fires can come up, that's kind of normal. Then they don't come up all the time.
Yeah.
But if everything's a fire, or if you think you don't control your time, you stop on a dime for everything, you think it's the worst thing and it's throwing you behind, you start getting addicted to the chaos and you start allowing the chaos and you thrive on the chaos. And when there's no chaos, then you feel bad because you feel like you don't have enough to do.
Yeah, that's true. God, you've just got my mail today. I mean, it's so good. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is something that it's a little bit of like, just, I need to change my thinking on. I can tell I need to clean up some thought work. So I have like a laundry list of health issues that I am working on, you know, blood pressure and pre-diabetic, and I have PCOS and an underactive thyroid. So, you know, So they're all improving and I've seen some really good like lab results, and I've lost about 7 pounds. I just joined the tribe in January. So truthfully, the first probably month, I was just like working on doing a plan every day, like and planning the overeats even and putting the stuff on the plan. Because I was prior to that, it was the perfect planner who never did their plan. And so I was like, not be that person anymore. And so I've really gotten good at like getting my plan and being realistic. And even this morning I realized I wrote a plan that wasn't realistic. So I went back and changed it this morning. Good. And now I'm like, hey, I'm on plan today. Like I did exactly what I said I was going to do. but I struggle with, there are certain foods that I know aggravate these issues. Like I feel better when I don't eat a lot of sugar, when I skip the gluten and the dairy. The dairy I've eliminated because my kid can't do dairy. So that's like a non-starter. We just don't do dairy and it's fine. But I'm having all this like thinking, crazy fat girl thinking about the cutting the gluten part. And I'm struggling with it. Like I want to put it on my plan because I want to eat a sandwich. And then I've got all this drama in my thinking.
Do you want to feel better?
I do.
Okay. And then you stop eating it. Here's the thing that's so funny. You're not having fat girl thinking about the dairy because like, oh, well, my kid can't have it.
That's true.
Like gluten and dairy are in the same boat.
Yeah, they are.
I have gluten because like my body can't tolerate it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean that, like if you're feeling deprived, it's because you think it's unfair or you think it's like whatever's going on there. Like, I just want to have it. Like you have to start practicing saying like, yeah, I'm going to want it for a little bit. Because I'm so used to giving myself the toy when I scream and cry for it.
Yeah.
I need to learn how to put my body and my health and what I want for my future. That has to get prioritized over the taste in my mouth in the moment.
That's so good.
And then giving yourself some compassion that it's going to, like, when you feel deprived, you need to tell yourself, like, that's only because of what I'm thinking. It's not real deprivation. Deprivation is me killing my pancreas. I'm depriving my 70-year-old version of me, years on my life, you know, like not have like money because insulin ain't cheap. You know, I mean, like think about like, and it will, I will tell you, it is going to be a constant like conversation. Like if we're having fat girl conversations, we have to also have healthy version conversations. Mm. And the healthy side of you has to speak up for you.
Yeah.
But don't look for the first few weeks of not having sugar and gluten to be like, there's no magic thought.
Yeah.
What there is like discomfort, but not deprivation.
That's good.
Understanding like, yeah, it's not supposed to be fun right now. I'm not even supposed to be excited or like motivated. I'm supposed to be aware. I'm supposed to be uncomfortable. I'm supposed to have a lot of conversations, but I'm also supposed to feel pretty good that I'm learning how to have better conversations with myself about the reality of the foods that work for me.
Yeah, that's so good.
Terrible conversations about the food that works like shit for me.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, that really does. That's it. Like, because it's so interesting. When I was pregnant with my son, I had gestational diabetes. And so as soon as I was diagnosed, like it was like cold turkey on all that stuff. And I mean, I was like,
what was your thought?
I think at that point, it was like, I'm wondering if it's really that I don't value myself as much as I value my son.
You know? I don't think it's like value in yourself. It's just that there's a thought that works easier for you there. I wouldn't make this a self-worth thing. I would just make it like a, you know, I think you almost, it's almost like prioritizing yourself. It's like, I value my comfort more than I value my discomfort.
That's it. Because I remember thinking and understanding how serious the outcomes could be for my son if I didn't make those choices. And I didn't like even really struggle with it. Like it just wasn't hard. I didn't eat cake at my own baby shower. And I wasn't like that upset about it.
Do you know what your magic thought was?
What was it? You tell me.
I don't eat this. It wasn't like, I'm pretty sure that when you went to the baby shower and saw cake that you didn't sit around going, I value my son's future life. And this is so terrible. Blah, blah, blah. And that conversation was never going on in your head. That conversation happened one time when the diagnosis happened. And then after that, all the conversation was, oh, I don't eat that. Like I've got gestational diabetes. Like I don't eat that. That was literally the only thought you had. Now literally be like, okay, long-term implications. Like I would do, like if I was you, I would do a big time thought download on why you want to change your health so bad. Like what is likely to happen to me if I don't get this shit straight now? Like what is my future? Like what is the future self of the one that keeps eating this shit? Like what is it like at 70? What's her longevity? Like paint that picture. Because I guarantee you, when you got gestational diabetes, you saw a child's future that was not good. Like either this pregnancy wouldn't happen, like you'd lose your child. Like your brain went through all of that. I think these diagnoses, your brain first went to, are we really not going to be able to eat sugar and flour?
Yeah.
You probably didn't know too much about your like longevity. You need to have that same tornado siren download about it so that your brain gets to like really feel it. So that then from that now on, you can just be the kind of person that says, I don't need that.
That's good. Look, I'm starting to get emotional. So I think you hit on it. That's it. It really is. I've got PMS this week too. So my hormones are so whack.
Luckily for y'all, I'm not ovulating or on my period today.
Yeah. So that's really good. That's what I need to work on.
That's what I would do. I think a lot of you need to work on that stuff. I think sometimes we are so in the rush to feel better and like we want our happy thoughts and we want all this stuff. And I'm not like trying to like drag you all down into a ditch today or anything, but I think there's some value in like showing up for yourself in the most uncomfortable of feelings in the most uncomfortable of moments. Because once you start doing that, you start seeing you can come out on the other side.
Yeah.
Then you don't run from them anymore. Like they happen, but you don't get worried about them and you don't need to push them away.
That makes so much sense. Cause I think for a long time, like I just numbed. I didn't want to feel anything at all. So I just used food not to feel. And so now that I'm not doing that all the time, it's like a beer can. You know what I mean? You just shake it up and emotions spew all over the place. And I used to hate crying in front of people and I didn't like feeling vulnerable. And I mean, it's okay. There are worse things than me crying on a Zoom call. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, this is what I think about. This is such a good call. For so many of us, and myself included, for years, I practiced not feeling.
Yeah.
And I would only either feel very fake highs that were coming from food or coming from whatever, or I would feel like really big time lows and need to crawl out of it with food. And we have to learn the skills of just feeling our emotions. And they only, literally the only way to do it is to feel them.
Yeah.
And then to write about what it was like.
Yeah.
And been like, and I didn't die or get pregnant.
That's so true. Cause when I started, like I noticed, I was looking back at like my January food logs and I was doing a lot of nighttime eating, like that 8 to 10 o'clock window after like everybody else would go to bed was when I was eating, and I stopped that. I'm not doing that anymore. And so there are nights I noticed, like this past week, I was like, I feel like I'm sitting in a lot of discomfort, like, you know, and but I'm not going to die from it. You know what I mean? I could just hear your voice in my head. You're not going to die or get pregnant. There are worse things.
And just tell yourself too, in those moments, the reason why I'm uncomfortable is not the food. Like I always challenge myself when I want to eat at night to tell myself, this really isn't you being uncomfortable because of the food. You may be thinking about it, but you're thinking about food for some other reason.
Yeah.
And very often I will tell you at night, my most common thought that I have at night, and I don't know if you feel this way, but because I also, like, I own my own business and I work from home. Like, you guys, well, I can give you as much time as I have in the day. Like, there's always a bounty of posts and, you know, like, no matter what, I can always be doing something.
Yeah.
I feel so much like at night, like undone.
Yeah.
Like sitting with everything that was like left on the table for the day, or my brain, like when I'm not wanting to eat or whatever, goes to all the things I could be doing. And then there's like this stress and pressure. Like if we would plug 30 more minutes in, or if we would just do this or, you know, whatever. And then I start like resisting that because I'm really tired. Like, I don't want to be doing that. But then there's that, like, this whole argument. And what I have found is when I don't eat and I allow myself to just be like, we're not eating and we're going to learn, damn it, how to rest.
Yes.
You know, like,
God, that's so
true. Don't feel like shit, Marla, but we're going to learn how to rest. And we're going to, like, I've been learning how to connect with Chris without having to go to Burger Republic and have wine. I've been working on this for like 2 years. And I've gotten pretty good at it.
That's so good. That's so good. That's exactly what happens for me at night. Like I'm really like work-wise, I'm doing great. Like I'm so proud. Like I set this big audacious goal and I'm doing it and I'm really excited about it. But there is this almost, it's like anticlimactic at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like you're so all in on all these things. And when it gets quiet, like being alone with yourself can be a little bit like intimidating almost. And that's what I'm like, I can always think of something I could be doing, but learning to just be still. Yeah. That's skill.
for all of us A types, it's something we literally have to practice.
Yeah.
We, you know, like I don't crave downtime. I crave working. I love to work, but
yeah,
I myself out too.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Cause like when I did some stuff about my future self when I went through No BS, and the two of the feelings that I really like are really important, I noticed, are I want to feel energetic and I want to feel productive. When I feel low energy or unproductive, that's when I start getting into the negative thinking and I want to look to food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's where like we have to do a really good job of during that downtime, understanding what we're making our downtime mean about us.
Mm.
That's the core of all the problem, is what do we make mean about us, you know?
That's so good.
Lady, There's a lot of meat in this call.
I'm so glad. Well, I'm going to be at DSB weekend. So
good.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm just planning to walk the 5K.
Yeah. It's
so crazy because I had literally decided I wasn't going to do it. I was like, I'm not a runner. I don't have ambitions to be a runner. And then you did this call and you were like, if you're saying you're not a runner, that's just BS. And I literally started like bawling my eyes out. I had this unusually emotional response. And so I jumped on coaching with Kathy and I was like, what is this about? And she was like, we dialed it down. And she was like, it's that you want to prove to yourself you can do something without quitting, you know, and that's what it's about. And so I can't wait to hug your neck when I cross the finish line.
Yeah. And because you're doing the 5K, you can hang out with me.
I'm excited.
I just sit there just waiting on people to hug.
Well, I'm excited. I actually have a Marco Polo group. There's about 19 of us in it. So it's a big group, but it's all people that are coming to the weekend. And so I can't wait to cheer those folks on. We're just kind of, it's more of a, it's not really an accountability group as much as it is, but let's get to know each other before we get there so we can hang out, you know? And so I'm excited. I can't wait. So thank you.
A 19 member Marco Polo group to me would be a full-time job.
It's definitely one of those where I had to listen to what you said and be like, I don't have to watch all the videos.
Right, just catch up on the last ones.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Hey,
I'll see you soon. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Who's next? Megan, are you here? I got Megan, Melissa, and Kat. There's Megan. Guys, when you come on, make sure you look to the bottom left and join with audio. I'll tell you what, one of these things, when I wear the fluorescent, I always look so tan. Of course, I got my Josie Maran on today, y'all.
Hi.
Hey, what are we coaching on?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for doing this. I think you're doing such important work, and this is my first call, so.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
I love the coaching calls. I think this is like maybe one of my favorite things I do.
Yeah, you're so good at it. I love listening to the replays. So.
Oh, awesome. What are we working on?
I've been feeling a lot of anxiety around my job. I work from home, but there is like an office in another state with people. So I'm feeling like disconnected and like I'm not bringing enough value. And so I started to kind of like ask myself, where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a more general issue that I have where I feel like if I'm not the best or the smartest or whatever, that I'm not good enough and like better exists. So why wouldn't they just hire someone better? Like why keep me? So
do you ever answer the question why they keep you?
No.
I might would start with why do they keep me?
Okay.
Why do you think they keep you?
I think I do good enough work. You know, it's just
because all employers are just looking for a bunch of good enoughs.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like I could be better.
Well, I mean, I think we all can be better, but you don't need to use that. Like I think I can be better, but I don't use it against myself, which is, I think, what you're doing. Like, you're not doing enough of, like, this is why I do good work. Like, when I think, you know, oh, I could be better, blah, 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 I don't know why they keep me, then you need to, like, answer your question. No, here's why they keep me. This is why I got another paycheck this week, because I did these things. The only way self-worth, self-esteem, all of that stuff rises is by you rising it. Like, it's not going to happen naturally. I'm sure your boss and your coworkers could call you every day and tell you something that you did that was good. But if you think that you could be better and you use it against yourself, it won't matter. Like, what if I told you right now, you're the best tribe member I ever had, Megan?
Thank you.
But would you be like, oh, she means that. Like, she really means it.
No, because I haven't been like in the tribe supporting people doing stuff that I know would be a good tribe thing to do.
Right, because you have manuals for what all these things about what makes Megan a good person is. What if my definition of a good tribe member was somebody who never fucking posts? Like, ever.
Yes, that would be me.
Yeah, what if my, like, let's just pretend my definition of a good tribe member is someone who never posts, listens to replays, enjoys them, sometimes signs up for a coaching call, pays me money every month. Would you mean my definition of excellent tribe member?
Yeah. So you're like, maybe my definitions are not the definitions that other people have.
I think your definitions don't work for you. I think you have definitions for yourself that you use like a whipping stick for yourself. Like when I said, like, if I told you you're the best tribe member ever and the first thing you did was give me the list of things that you don't do, it's because you in your mind think that there's this definition of a good tribe member. I'll give everybody a secret because we have been talking about this. Like when we were literally, when we had 98 members, we talked about who was a good tribe member and who wasn't back then. Like this is, I don't care if we have 3,000 members or 98 of them. Everybody always thinks there's a definition of a good tribe member. No, there's tribe members. The best tribe members pay their dues monthly. Outside of that, the best tribe members are the ones that look inside to define, are they getting what they need out of PNP? Which is the same thing that Megan needs to do at work. There's probably no working definition of what the best employee is where you work. There's probably, Megan needs to look inside and decide that she's a great employee who's showing up every day like a great employee, because then you show up different. When you value you, you give value. When you devalue yourself, you play small in little ways in your life and maybe even in your job. I'm not saying they're noticing it.
Yeah. So like I tell myself, I eat healthy. I'm a healthy person. Like that's how I self-identify. And then I show up that way when I eat. So if I tell myself these kind of affirmations about how I am as an employee, then it could help.
Yeah. And let me just tell you, it's going to feel terrible at first.
It feels fake, right?
Yeah, it will feel like, yes, fake as my boobs. There's nothing real going on here. But they feel like a part of me now, and they're not even real. But that's because I have carried them for years. Just like you will need to tell yourself this, you don't need to identify it as the fake version of you. This is the version of you that truly exists. I just don't believe it yet. And that's where I think a lot of you go along with believing in yourself, is that you think it's fake. Like I'm going to fake it till I make it. It's like, no, this is literally the truth. You've just not practiced your own truth long enough to really feel it yet. Because I guarantee you, I've never met anyone who, if I say, all right, tell me why you're such a terrible employee. Oh, most of you can just like give it to me. Or if I say, tell me why you're a terrible tribe member, tell me why you're terrible this, that, and the other, right? Then when I say, well, tell me, exact same situation, why you're such a great employee. Are you so good? And then you'll struggle. And you wonder why? You think it's because the truth is you're not a good employee. It's like, no, the truth is you keep telling yourself a bullshit story. The truth is probably over here waiting to be accepted and believed. So if you start like doing an active practice of redefining what your truth is, more than your unconscious practice of telling this other truth, you will feel different eventually. But it's not that that's a fake story. I think that's really important for you guys to understand. It's not like lying to yourself. It's literally saying, all right, what is truly true? They pay me every single week. My last review had these things on it. They are still inviting me to the team call. Oh my gosh, look, it's Tuesday. I'm back on the team call again. Who knew?
Yeah.
You know, if you suck, they're probably going to quit inviting you to calls. Oh, yeah, we talked about that in the meeting. We just didn't include you. Is that stuff happening?
No, we just had a team call today. So.
Yeah, well, you should celebrate and be like, oh, my gosh, I don't even work in the office, and I was at the team call.
Yeah.
Like, they really wanted me there because they could have easily – were they all in an office somewhere?
Yeah, well, actually, we have two offices. One is in Romania and one is in Florida. So
oh, wow.
We do it, yeah.
So there were people that were physically together on this call?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
They could have had that meeting without you real easy and you would have never known. like that is the stuff that we roll our eyes and we think, oh, Corinne, it's like, no, like literally that could literally be what you tell yourself so that you raise your self-esteem. You raise your personal value. It's like when I tell people to think stuff like that, they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. Because you know what you're telling yourself? I'm not valued. Don't argue for that. Stop arguing for the stuff that sucks.
Yeah. And I could apply that in life too, like with friendships where I move around a lot. So I feel like, I don't know, I'm not good at friends.
Yeah, that is probably not true either.
So just stop telling myself the things that I don't want to be true.
Yeah. Like literally, that's like the bottom line to all of it. Like if you want to end fat girl thinking, you know what you do? Every time you have it, you stop it. Like everybody wants there to be like, but tell me how I just turn it off like a faucet. Like, that's never going to happen. You have a brain that works like at crazy light speed. You're going to have to do some work. That's what I usually tell people is like, I know we want to just turn it off, but you're probably going to have to just step up and work on it. And here's the thing, like I'm not good at friends. People always think that like I must be because like I talk to you guys all the time and stuff. Like I literally talk to Kathy and that's it. And I don't even hardly talk to her. Like she'll text me and maybe at night I'll reply back. I am such like just a like I just get in my zone. My like one of my best friends lives in New Mexico. Like, here's how you're good at being a friend. You decide you're going to be good at being a friend. And when you're good at being a friend, you find little ways to be a good friend. When you think you're not a good friend, you just think, oh, I've moved. We're probably going to be disconnected the rest of our life. And when you feel that way and you think that way, then you don't connect. You don't reach out. You don't do any of the work.
Right. Yeah, because I think they don't really care. Like, I don't really matter in their lives. So,
what if they don't give a shit? And what if you don't matter at all? But on your end, you're like, oh, I'm texting her.
Oh, right. Yeah, but
I like, follow her every day anyway.
Because but if she doesn't care, then, and I do those things and it's like, I'm just annoying her.
You don't know. You're assuming that you're doing all this. You know what you're feeling? Whatever you think. If you think, I can't wait to message her this. This is going to be amazing. You just get to feel good. Or you can think, oh, she's probably annoyed by me. I don't even live in the same city anymore. Why would she ever want to hear from me? Then you just get to feel that terribleness. I have like my friend Jane that lives in New Mexico. I don't know what she thinks about my Marco Polos, to be honest. And I leave aggressive ones, like 30, 40 minute versions. Just she could be on 2x speed for all I know, all the time. In fact, she'll even Marco Polo me back and she'll be like, girl, that was going really long. I just cut it off. I needed to really start talking about my stuff. So if there was anything important, let me know. But I got to experience sharing with her. I got to the experience of like doing all of it. And when I don't think like her feelings and her, like all that matters in it, it's like my stuff matters. Like then she could delete every one of them and I wouldn't care because I'm getting the experience. You like when it comes to, have you done my relationships course yet?
No.
You should do that one. Which one are you doing right now? Like, what are you working on right now?
Well, I just joined in January, so I went through No BS, and now I'm going through the overeating one with you because I also tend to overeat. So,
But is that like a big deal in your life, the overeating? Or because you said you self-identify as a healthy eater and stuff.
Well, I overeat on healthy things, but it's still overeating. Like, I'm going past my two.
I think that's fine, but I don't think that's the biggest fish for you to be frying right now is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I think you should go through, honestly, mastering relationships. You can still listen to all the stuff over there, but the relationships course we did right before you guys joined, I think could be really helpful for you. I talk in that one about what a relationship is, because you've brought up seriously in this call, like two or three different, like the relationship with the people who work there, your relationship with your job, and then you brought up relationships because you move a lot. And so like it sounds like that's a pain point in your life, like just relationships in general and relationship with self. And it will help you with all of those. Once you do that, just listen to the modules and then you can do the worksheets if you want to, but listen to those modules when you have some time. They're really good. I put a lot into that particular course. It was one of the ones we did. We may have done it in December. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. One other question quickly. You've talked before about visualization. Is that something you do like daily or weekly? Or like, I feel like I have a lazy brain and I just don't do that.
I do it anytime I think it's important. Like if I really want to like not overeat someplace, if I really want to like experience, like a lot of times I'll visualize my day in my working. Like if I know I'm apt to want to have like a project or something I'm working on that's going to be just a mental battle to get it done, I visualize myself doing the work. I visualize myself shutting down email when I want to go to it. I visualize myself wanting to go eat rather than working, to busy myself, to distract myself. Like I visualize all of that in me not responding. So anytime, I always think visualization is most important. When anything you think is important to you, it's the best time to do it. I don't think every day, I mean, if you want to, you can, but I don't like wake up every morning and like visualize my day. I write about my day. I write about what I want for the day. I write about what I'm going to do for the day. So a lot of that is also visual, because anytime you're writing, like when you're planning your day and you're thinking about how you want to feel and the things you want to accomplish and stuff, your brain is playing the movie. It's seeing you do it. Like that's just kind of how the brain works. It's very, you know, visual and imagery driven. But if I know I for sure have to get something done, then I will visualize myself doing it, and I will visualize myself at times not liking it and redirecting myself to doing it. So I think that's the most important part, especially when it comes to like overeating, you know, like visualizing yourself at 8 o'clock at night, like our last caller, I'm not sure when you overeat, but like visualizing yourself sitting there and feeling a two and thinking, let's keep going. It's healthy. This won't hurt because I'm a healthy eater. Like visualizing yourself thinking it and then visualizing yourself saying, but tonight we're going to put the fork down. Tonight we're going to stop. Tonight we're going to do this. And like mentally rehearsing that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So like thinking about the potential obstacles that are going to come up and like how I'm going to deal with that.
Absolutely. Same thing I would do. Like when you know, I would do that with your work. Like with your like feeling like you're not adding value, you might want to visualize yourself in the morning sometimes. Just like, I want to visualize myself adding value today. Like I want to visualize myself having moments where I don't think I'm doing a good job, but I persevere and I turn out some of my best work. Like, you know, doing some of that kind of stuff, it starts transitioning you out of the person that you believe yourself to be into the person that you want to believe you are.
Yeah. And then I just have a hard time like doing what I say that I'm going to do. So, but I guess I'm just not beating myself up about it and making small steps.
Yeah. I just put it, do you do your 24-hour plan each day?
I do. I pretty much never follow them, but I do them.
they're not realistic then if you're not following them.
I guess. I don't know. I have like rebel tendencies. So I feel like I just rebel against myself, even though I want to do it.
You're going to need to rebel against you doing perfect plans or doing plans that aren't realistic. You know the reason why most of you don't want to do realistic plans? Because it's going to feel like shit when you eat that.
Yeah.
You're already breaking your own, like, it's so funny. It's like, you guys are like all in on breaking your own word to yourself. And I'm like, why not just do exactly what it is you're doing? It's like, oh, because it'll suck the fun out of breaking the word to myself. It's like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It's supposed to suck all the fun out of that.
Okay, so do the plan realistically. It's more important to follow the plan, even if it's horrible, because it's so realistic, rather than to like up-level.
Yeah, because you're not ready to up-level. I guarantee when you create your plan each day, you're not doing it from a place of like, fuck yeah, I'm ready for the challenge. Let's do this. Today is the day that I'm following the plan and I love being challenged with my food. You know, like there's no shoulds. I should eat this today. This is what I should be eating. Like when your plan is based from a punitive mindset, then you need to go to the realistic plan. When your plan is based from a, I'm ready to challenge myself. I'm ready to step up to the discomfort. Like this excites me. I'm ready to see what I'm made of. That's when you're supposed to be leveling up. I'm always trying to teach you guys. You have to be where you are. Right now, I think where you're at is understanding your rebel tendencies. There's a payoff there. It's like, oh, I'm being a rebel and I'm getting away with something and I'm doing all these things. And it's like, there's like that hit of dopamine when you do it and stuff. We need to take all the dopamine out of it, which means, no, we're going to eat this bullshit. This is not what a healthy eater, like I think what a healthy eater would eat, but this healthy eater is doing this shit every day. I might as well do it with the blindfold off and let's just see what we're really experiencing. It's a whole different experience. It's not near as fun. It's not near as like, ooh, got away with something. Like none of that happens. It's like, Then you start doing that. Then you start getting motivated to challenge yourself because you've sucked the fun out of it. You've sucked the payoff. You've sucked all the relief out of it, the dopamine out of it. Just sitting there eating at that point. You're not escaping from anything. You're just there. It's like, wow, you know, just give it a whirl. Yeah. Do it like, but do it like a week. Don't do it like 2 days. Like I'm ready to level up. You always gut check yourself by your reasoning. If it doesn't feel good and positive and like it's challenging you and growing you, you're not ready. You need to learn how to quit doing things from a punitive standpoint. And I think that's going to pay off in your work too.
Yes. Awesome.
All right, lady. Thank you. It was a good call.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Melissa, you're next. Kat, are you here? There's a cat on here too. You need to raise your hand.
I was trying to turn on the sound.
Yeah. I hope your internet's good. The last few times we've talked, your internet cracked out.
I know. Is it okay? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
We got a new extender and it's been helping. I mean, I haven't noticed a problem with my work.
So. All right. Well, what do we go to today?
Oh, that last call was really helpful. It's similar. Oh, shoot. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Wait.
What happened?
I'm sitting next to the Roomba charger and I kicked it and it started going crazy on me. Sorry. The good news is that I haven't been eating through my stress and anxiety, but the bad news is that I still have so much stress and anxiety that I'm working to manage, and I'm doing a lot better, but I have this big event coming up, and as the time gets closer, I'm just feeling it more increased, and I do stress a lot of
the stress
and anxiety. Yeah, and the anxiety, because you know it's an unknown thing. I haven't done this before, but I've been preparing for it for a long time, and I have been visualizing. But what it is I'm giving a keynote speech at this conference, and I'm teaching two workshops, and it's within my industry. And
well, what are you making this mean? Like, what is stressing you out about it?
Oh, that I'm not going to be a good speaker, or I'm not going to communicate.
Well, let's say you get up there and you don't speak well and you don't communicate. You get done. What are you going to make that mean?
Well, I'm sure my initial, like my, my go-to would be to make it mean that I'm not good enough, or that it's a value judgment of myself. And intellectually, I know that that just means, oh, I didn't communicate well and I didn't do what I wanted to do.
But let's get deeper. Like, what is it like if the worst case scenario is you go to a keynote and you whiff? Mm-hmm. So what is going to happen to the rest of your life?
I think I'll just feel embarrassed about that. I might be embarrassed to see those people, or I'll feel like
So you're going to
I'll have bad feelings.
You're going to have a lot of bad feelings if you whiff.
Yeah.
But there's probably, if it's stress, if the worst that's going to happen is like, well, I'm going to be embarrassed and stuff, that's not where stress and anxiety comes from. And stress and anxiety doesn't come from like worrying about like practicing and stuff like that. Stress and anxiety always is going to come from something more deep. And it's not that I'm not good enough. You're used to that. That's not where stress and anxiety is coming from. It's like, if I blow this keynote, it means I am what? Like, what is going to happen to your future and your career and your like next keynotes and things like that?
That's the thing. I don't think it's ultimately would ruin my career or anything. I wouldn't be invited again. people might feel like, oh, damn, I wasted my money for coming to this conference. But
you'll probably do the presentation of your life and some asshole will be like, I wasted my money.
Well, I'm also teaching two workshops and I'm leading a round table. So I'm like very present in this conference, and it's a small chapter. It's not like it's a national level thing. It's not like, and it's not even like it's so many people and it's not going to be televised or anything. So,
okay, so I know
I'm making a big deal out of it, and it's like, right. I'm trying to pull myself back.
The thing, you have to just keep pulling yourself back. That's why I asked you the questions, because you're either having stress and anxiety because you think this is going to fuck my career or like something like that, or you're having stress and anxiety because that's just what you do. And it's not that big a deal that you're having stress and anxiety. And you just need to pull yourself back from it. Just saying like, this is what I do. I'm just used to getting work done through stress and anxiety. But this time I'm going to get my work done. I'm going to get my preparation and stuff done, not through stress and anxiety. The reason very often what happens is when we have these go-to emotions that you have, like stress and anxiety, you have gotten incredible payoffs for that over the years.
Right. And that is a go-to.
Yeah, it's like,
you're right.
Like I was, I think about myself, like there is nothing like internal pressure for me to get something done and bang it out of the park. But I learned over the last year that if I'm constantly going to have to get my work done by telling myself a bunch of bullshit that drives up stress and burnout, that like I have to break that cycle. And the cycle is to tell yourself, my go-to emotions are stress and anxiety. It's because I'm thinking, I'm not going to have enough done. I'm probably going to whiff. All I'm doing is like channeling a bunch of old thoughts that in the past have allowed me to prepare fully to do these things. So if I'm going to like prepare and I know me that I'm going to do all these things, then I need to just drop this part of it.
Right. And I know in the past, this is the exact thing that broke my body.
Right.
I know it's bad.
Well, and it's the thing, don't beat yourself up over it though. Like that's going to increase more stress and anxiety. What you need to understand is that this is just your brain. It thinks that in order to get to giving an amazing presentation and stuff, that it needs to gin you up.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's your job to teach yourself, like, we don't have to get all worked up. We can get focused and get there too.
Okay. Yeah, and right.
Reminding yourself, this is just what my brain does. Why am I stressed out right now? Because I'm thinking what? I'm thinking I'm not going to do well. That's bullshit. I'm going to show up and I'm going to give my presentation. And I would just tell myself, some people will love it and some people won't. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like sitting there thinking, like, I never like to think everybody's going to love it. I just always think I'm going to like show up like fully and some people will like it and some people won't, but the people who like it will love it. And the people who need it will be moved beyond measure, you know, whatever you need to think.
Right. And I've written so much about this, and I, when I'm in a good place, which is usually in the morning,
We all are in a good place in the morning.
Yeah, I'm in a good place and I can visualize it and I have been visualizing it. And my anchor idea is just that I know that I have something valuable to communicate and I just want to show up and do the best that I can in that moment. But then I forget. Like later, I'll forget and I'll just be like, oh my God, I'm so behind and I have to do that, you know.
Tell myself every single time, this is what I've been used to getting. This is the way I've been used to getting my work done.
Right.
And I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay.
But when you think I'm so behind, say, that's bullshit. When have you ever showed up for any kind of anything and been like, well, I'm sorry. I just couldn't get it done. I got so behind and, well, I'm not turning anything in.
Right. Yeah, never.
Right. You're going to have that conversation with yourself. Say, like, that never happens. The majority of us rarely ever go to something and be like, this was the time I was completely right. There wasn't enough time. The most important things never got done. Oh, my God.
And it's, for some reason, that's like my biggest fear is to be unprepared or miss a deadline. I don't know, but then I never have. So it doesn't make sense.
But that's where you got to teach yourself. Like, I always meet my deadlines. And now I'm learning to meet my deadlines without having to do it through fear and without having to do it through pressure. I'm actually learning how, like, I'm going to teach myself. It's going to be a very deliberate practice. I swear to you guys, so many of us are so used to performing through stress and stuff that we get addicted and we think we need it or we think it's just the way it's supposed to happen. It's like, no, we can get the exact same amount of work done or more without all of it and we'll actually turn out something better. Even if you turn out equally the same, you turn out better through the process.
So how do you do that, though? I know that's a totally limiting belief.
It's redirect.
But then, like, so I'll have days, especially since I've been really working hard on this not overeating module, which is amazing. And really amazing. And I've been really good. Like, I feel really good because I haven't been going there. I haven't been using food to soothe. I've been on a streak, and I feel like, okay, I'm understanding it on a different level, which is great. But then I'm left with all the thoughts, and I just find myself, I'm constantly redirecting, constantly, and I am constantly having to write, and it's like,
but how many years have you felt
so
like
much this? Time?
It does.
It's so much work. Yeah, it's been most of my life. I think say all my life.
Yeah, it's not going to end in like a month.
Yeah, but I guess I expect it to be easier. But I'm probably just being impatient.
I wouldn't expect it to be easy at all. I would just expect it to just be the work you're going to be willing to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put any qualifier on it. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. This is just what I'm willing to do. Like, I'm willing to experience whatever I need to experience to come out on the other side changed.
Right.
And the, like, when you quit resisting it taking like so long and all this other stuff, then it will go faster because you're not focused on the time. And you won't be feeling so bad through it. It's almost like you've got this layer of like, I feel bad that I'm having to do this, but I'm doing the work. It's that same pressure and stress that you're doing like to get your project done. It's like, well, I really want to change how I'm thinking about myself. So now I'm going to stress out about my thoughts so that I can change my thoughts.
Right.
It's like, they're right. Just, it's going to like, you know, and sometimes just say like, I'm not writing about this today. You know what I'm going to do? Every time I start thinking this bullshit, I'm going to say, no, we don't stress out about our thoughts. We don't stress out about our work. You just tell yourself, like, I may not believe it, but there's plenty of time to get it done. My proof is in my past. I've always gotten my shit done.
Right. Okay.
This is when we get to go back to our past. When we use it for us, not when we're using it against ourselves.
Right. And the ironic thing is that a lot of my talk is about this. So when I start bitching to my husband, who he's an amazing writer and editor, and he helped me edit it. He's like, why don't you just, you need to read your paper. You need to just read that again. Because it's about a lot of this stuff and what, you know, creative people go through with the self-criticism and changing the story that we tell ourselves and when we're doing a new project. And
you're going to doing that work yourself, mama.
I know.
Like, you guys wonder why I can like talk this food stuff all the damn time. Because right. I coach myself on it all the time. Like, I think you guys, I just sit around and just like, I got this licked. I'm like the queen. I have a business about it and everything. It's like, no, I'm my best client.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just don't get upset about being my best client. I call myself my best client. I'm like, there's no reason to argue with doing the work on myself. It's like, I'd rather be where I am today, working on it all the time, thinking about it all the time, redirecting my brain, rather than back when I weighed 250, crying, wondering why I can't get my shit together. That was back when I resisted the work and I wanted it to be easy and I wanted it all to stop right then. And I, like, all that shit that we go through, 250 pounds, that's where all that was. And when I just decided, like, I will every day, all day, redirect my brain, no matter how many times it takes, to believe a new story, to accomplish something else, to drop my own stress, to drop my drama, to drop my own bullshit. I will do it as often as I need. It is such a better life. I'm like, I argue for that part. I don't get mad at that part.
Okay.
All right, lady. Thank you. Your internet connection is much better.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, Kat, let's get it done. I got a son I got to go pick up. He's probably like, where's my mama? Thank God it's warm. He didn't take a coat today. All right, bottom left, honey. somewhere is a join audio. Zoom changed all my settings for everybody. You see it?
Hi.
Oh, hello. What are we coaching on today?
So I wrote to you in the Ask Corinne about self stuff, like self esteem, self image, all that lovely stuff.
Okay.
I have none. Like, I mean, I might have a little now because I've been working on it with my accountability group, but it's very low.
So do you think you have none? You think that's a helpful thought, or very low self-esteem? Is that a helpful thought?
No.
No. What do you think would probably be a more helpful thought?
I'm working on it. Like, I'm always working on myself, I guess.
Yes, I'm working on it, learning to build it. It's buildable. Self-esteem is not like just low. Like, we say it, but it's not really the truth. There's no like tank of self-esteem somewhere. I mean, could you imagine? Oh, I didn't realize it would be so easy. Let me just go fill up at the self-esteem gas, you know, station.
Right.
Why does it bother you that you have low self-esteem?
I don't think it really, it hasn't bothered me up until like the past year.
Okay.
It's sort of been like ingrained in me by my mom and my family and some friends and my ex. Like, it's just.
What's been ingrained? That you have low self-esteem, or are there thoughts that have been ingrained in you?
The thoughts, like, like, I am not worthy of things. I'm not, like, this is what, like, my mom was very abusive, mm-hmm. Mentally, physically, emotionally. Like, she just was a horrible mom. My therapist says she is a shitty mom. And I agree with her. My friends agree with my therapist on that level. I live with my roommate, and she is a childhood friend. And she knows my mom. So when I told her that the other day, she was like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think she's pretty accurate. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, calm down. But yeah, like, I have, and I still see my mom. Like, she drives me to my appointments and drives me places because I don't drive. So it's like, I have to rely on her, and I hate doing that.
But she can't be that shitty if she's willing to drive you.
I think it has a lot to do with guilt, like, for being a shitty mom. Like, she tries, like.
Let me ask this. Is it benefiting you to think your mother is a shitty mother? I mean, I know you've got, like, a chorus of people around you, including a therapist, all, like, saying, yeah, she's shitty. But when you think that, how do you feel?
Guilty. Like, I have a lot of guilt with that, I guess.
Like, when you think I have a shitty mother, you feel guilt?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I just feel guilty. I am.
You think it was your fault for the way your mom acted?
No, I don't.
So where does the guilt come from?
I don't know. She, growing up, I guess, like, she could make me feel guilty for anything.
Well, I think that's where you have to first start. Like, when you're a kid, you just need to tell, this is the adult version of you needs to talk to the child version of you. When we're a child, we think people can make us feel things because we don't have the emotional bandwidth yet to understand how to do our emotions. But the grown-ass cat version, how old are you?
40.
Yeah, 40-year-old version of you? Mama can't make you feel anything. Mama can do whatever she wants. She can say whatever she wants. You're going to have to, like, really understand how to divorce your story about your past, about exes and all of this. Like, in the very beginning, we talked about, like, your self-esteem was ingrained in you from all these other people. Nothing is ingrained. What happens is every single morning you wake up and Kat has her own collection of thoughts about anything she wants to think about, including her past, including her self-esteem and the person she is today. And that, like, I want you to really think about this, because we get really caught up in thinking that our past and the way people have treated us or the way people will treat us tomorrow has anything and everything to do with how we feel about ourselves. And when we stay locked in on that, you're never going to be able to stand on your own with your emotions.
Okay.
So for you, what's really important is to understand, like, as of now, I own everything I feel and I no longer blame it on anyone. So, like, if you want to feel guilty, just say, I feel guilty and I'm choosing guilt. If you want to feel bad, say, I am hurt, I feel bad, I feel whatever, but it's because I'm choosing it, not because someone did something to me, not because someone said something to me. It's now just all on me. It's taking, like, full responsibility that everything you think and feel is all on you. And that seems heavy at first because we want to blame, but it ends up screwing us. When you own it, that also means that, like, if you don't want to think you're a terrible person or you're, like, I don't know what your self-esteem thoughts are. What did you say in the beginning? You said something.
I can't even remember. I'm really nervous, so I'm just
You're fine. What is one of the, in, like, when we say ingrained, I'm saying it in air quotes for everybody who listens to the replay. When what's an ingrained thought that you have that someone gave you that you believe is true? Or that you practice?
I'm not worthy. I'm worthy to be here alive, I guess.
I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want to say is that when, like, if you want to feel worthless, I want you to take ownership for feeling worthless, not because someone told you, but because you practice feeling worthless. Because what will happen is it also opens up the idea in your brain. It's like, well, I don't want to feel hopeless. I mean, I don't want to feel worthless. I would like to feel something else. If it's my responsibility to feel whatever I'm going to feel, and I don't want to feel worthless, then I get to pick the one I want to feel. That is just how emotions work. That's why, like, I never think, like if you want to think your mom is a shitty mom and it allows you to feel some relief for the way that you are, and you can, like, forgive her for all of that or whatever, and that works for you, that's great. But a lot of times what happens is when we think our moms are shitty, rather than they were just mom, then we think we have no hope. We got the bad one. That's why we are the way we are.
Right.
It's going to be so much harder for us to change. And then we start getting into our victim story.
Okay.
I don't want you to be a victim. Do you know who your biggest abuser right now is?
Myself.
Yeah, you're using your past against you.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Like, how much time do you spend each day thinking about how other people have treated you and that's why you are the way you are?
Not as much as I think I do. I think I more, like, think about how much I hate myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if you just decided you don't hate yourself anymore?
You can try that.
How long are you willing to try that?
For as long as it takes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What if you just committed to it? What is the difference between trying? Why just try it and not commit?
Because that's the line I always use when I am. I'm scared. I always say I'll try. And that seems to appease people, I guess. Like, they just go with it. So it's my easy answer.
Yeah, well, it's hard to bullshit me.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm quite the bullshit sniffer. No, literally, I want you to think, what is the worst that would happen if you just committed to not hating yourself anymore? Like, you just committed to all out loving you.
It would be weird.
Yeah, it's going to be really weird. It'd be weird as fuck.
Yeah.
It's going to be more uncomfortable than hating yourself. Like, as much as you don't like that part of you, loving yourself will be the harder part.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No.
You're just not used to doing it. I want you to think about this in a very neutral way. Loving yourself would be like me. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right. Well, both, actually.
Oh,
right. Then, yeah.
I ruined my whole example.
We'll say right. We'll say right.
Let's put it this way. What if I said from now on, you have to write with your toes?
I used to be able to do that, actually.
I don't know why you hate yourself. You're pretty fucking talented. But I want you to think about something that like would be, do you eat fast or slow?
Fast.
Okay. Let's say that for every meal for the next 3 months, every single meal, no matter how small or big it was, you had to make it stretch out an hour and a half.
Oh my God. That's a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like that.
Yeah.
That uncomfortable. The reason I was asking about the hands and stuff is like most people are very, like I'm very right dominated. Like loving yourself is going to be like having to switch the non-dominant hand. It's going to have to be, it's going to feel that uncomfortable. It's going to be that practice. It's going to be, your brain is going to argue. It's just so much easier to hate ourselves. We might as well just stay over here. This keeps us safe. I'm going to tell you, when you're hating on yourself and you have low self-esteem, there's always payoffs for it. It probably, like if like overeating is your jam, let's pretend that overeating is your jam. Well, if you hate yourself, it's a lot easier to overeat. If you really love yourself, all of a sudden you're having to question all that. If you really love yourself, you eat for your health. And just like our girl with the, our first caller who had the PCOS and the pre-diabetes and stuff. When you genuinely love yourself, you want the best for yourself, and that is the top priority, you don't eat sandwiches anymore.
Right.
Because that gluten fucks up your diabetes and it fucks up your PCOS.
Right.
And you'll want a sandwich like every day and twice on Sunday.
Right. Well, I'm a type 1 diabetic and I'm on an insulin pump and I used to eat really crazy. Like I would eat all the time. Yeah. I was full. I was never satisfied. I always ate. And it's screwed with my numbers. And
Yeah.
But
I want you to just think about like, are you committed? Like, I just want you to think, I will never say I'll try to like myself. I either want to solve loving myself or not. I either want to solve my self-esteem or I don't. So I'm all in. From this day forward, I never blame anybody for what I think and feel. It's all on me. I never regret my past. Everything I think and feel and do, all on me. It's not my past anymore. Like just like completely taking that whole story and just dropping the shit out of it. And then when it comes back and it wants to dance around in your head and it's sitting there like a crazy person, you just say, I dropped you. Like I may feel like shit right now, but it won't be because I'm beating myself up anymore.
I can do
That's how you raise your self-esteem. That's how you do that work. It's just like, I think the theme of the day has been, it's a lot of conscious, deliberate thinking. It's exhausting. You'll argue with yourself. There's no, like, have you ever had like a day where you had to do work that was just brain labor intensive and like you didn't really do anything else all day long but work, and then you go to bed and you're just like mentally done?
Mm-hmm.
It will be the same way. And your brain will argue because it will not want to go to bed tired every night because you spent all day long loving yourself, redirecting your brain to like yourself, finding the positive, saying, oh no, we don't have a shitty mom anymore. No, we have a mother. It's all we got. We got our mom. This is the mom we got.
Right.
You be careful letting people tell you, like, let me validate you feeling like shit.
All right.
It's like, I don't need people to tell me that it's like I should feel shitty. I need people telling me how to raise my self-esteem. Like that's the people I want in my life.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's just going to take you having a better conversation with them. Like not talking about your mom.
Right. Right.
Talking about what you want out of this life. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
There's like a shit ton of stuff, but for now, this is okay.
Let's just start with like being all in on loving ourselves.
Okay.
Just saying like, there's no try. I'm committed to changing the relationship with myself. I bet you anything, if you did that, a lot of this other stuff that you say, all this stuff you have, it's going to change a lot of that. A lot of that won't be as important.
Okay.
Promise you, the relationship with yourself is the most valuable one you'll ever work on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm like stuck on the no BS, like the fat girl thinking. And the future self, I am really stuck on the future self. Like I can't picture the future.
Well, tell me real quick. This time next year, what does being all in on loving yourself look like?
I don't know because I've never really loved myself.
Like you don't have to have loved yourself to know. What do you want it to look like?
Like I don't want to be as sick as I am. I want to be healthier.
Okay. So this time next year, I'm healthier. And that means these numbers are what? Like you can do all kinds of things. You can say like, say whatever your health problems are. Say like, tell me a health problem.
I have diabetes, I have bipolar disorder, I have Hashimoto's, like energy level is always really low.
Okay, so you could say like, my future self wakes up each day energetic because she's treating herself so well. Because she's putting the kinds of foods in her body that she knows works for her Hashimoto's. Her doctor has said, oh my gosh, your diabetes numbers have changed so much and it's so good.
Okay.
And then think about like, what does your future self think about herself? Each day when she wakes up, she thinks this about herself. When she goes to bed, she thinks this about how she showed up for the day. When people give her a compliment, her first thought is, when somebody says something not so nice, she lets it roll off her back because she loves herself so much. Like that, like you can do that. And then for a lot of you, because I know future self is a toughie, one of the things that you can do is just think about your future self next week. Like if I was committed to loving myself this time next week, these little things will have changed. You can always do it a week at a time if you need to.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the work you need to be doing. Fat girl thinking module. You should just stay in that lane. Don't get off of it until like it's that future self module and the fact those, what is it? Modules 3 and 4.
I think so. Yeah.
I would listen to them on repeat for a couple of weeks and I would do every worksheet and some of them I would do twice.
I've been listening to them since January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we call it the success path, because you guys are going to walk that path a lot. Right. Everybody has to go through no BS probably 10 solid times before they really are like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And then you get to start listening to it 10 more times because then you'll actually be doing it in a way that's like, oh, this is giving me traction.
Right, right.
All right, lady. Good call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Got to go pick up that son of mine. Y'all have a good one. And I will see. Let's see. What is today? Wednesday. I will see you. I think I don't see you guys till Monday of next week. I think I am I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to Brendon Burchard's conference. I will be taking copious notes. And if I find something really good that I need to go live with, I will do it immediately. So talk to you later. Bye, y'all.